For joining me here. Welcome, Henry. How's your mic doing there today?
Mic test. What's going on, brother?
Everything's good. Another beautiful day. Looking forward to this one. Pretty excited. We'll get going here in a few minutes. Just wait for co-host Articulate to show up. I think Eric will be coming to join us, I think, still is the plan. And I'll just wait. We'll try and get started close to 12 noon as possible. Just give me a few minutes here. All right. Looks like we have our co-host in place. Articulate, welcome. How are you doing today?
Doing great. Thank you, Chris. Excited about this episode. Looking forward to the discussion. How are you doing today?
Real good. It's the first time I've done the podcast from home on the ranch here for the first time in a while. So, looking forward to that, not being on the run today for a change. See, Eric's here. I'm just bringing him up. Perfect.
Nice. Welcome, everybody. This is episode 24 of the Super Ledger podcast. We're going to get going in just a second. Waiting for a few more, maybe a minute or two, and then we get started.
Yeah, I see. I'm going to do a test space here this week from the computer. I'm scared to change anything. Knock on wood, we've been blessed with very little glitches in 24 or plus weeks. Actually, we did about 4 or 5 weeks before, so going on 30 weeks without any glitches. So I'm a little bit hesitant to change things, but it's letting me launch it from the computer now, I see. So I might give that a test here this week. But so we will try and get some opening music here eventually is the plan, because it certainly won't happen for my Android device, no matter what I've tried here. So. But it looks like we're about ready to get started. We've got everybody here. Clock just struck 12. Perfect. Let's get into it. So, yes, welcome, Super Ledger Podcast, episode 24. It's my pleasure today to have a special guest here, Henry. He's, I think, going to have the record for the amount of appearances on the show here, but always comes with a wealth of knowledge and value. And we're also joined by Eric from AstroVault, and they're going to tell us about the LSE launch on OPID that is coming up May 15th. So before we get started here, if you want to learn more about what we're doing here at Corium Community DAO, we've put this podcast together for the community to have a reliable place to gather every week to exchange ideas, information, and help build their networks. If you want to chip in, help us out with that project, you can stake with our validator, Corium Community DAO Validator, or hop in our Discord and just be part of building this DAO and help us on along our journey here. So, but we're just glad you joined us here today. That's definitely all part of the journey and getting the information out there. And you can learn more about that at CoriumCommunityDAO.com. So this week, we have had Henry and Patrick on from Lunar Space a couple times now at great length. They've been very generous with their time, gave us, I think, 3.5 hours the first time, 2.5 plus the second time. So if you need to learn about Lunar Space and what it's all about, I really encourage you to check that out on one of those past podcasts. Today, I'd really like to focus on the LSE token and what the launch looks like on OPID. And while Eric's here, I definitely want to learn and share with the community that might not be familiar with AstroVault and what's going on there. I've been watching it actually for quite some time before Lunar Space even partnered with them, and it's a very interesting project, and I think there'd be a lot of value to get there too. So with that, Henry, Eric, welcome. If you can each just give us your, I guess, say 2 minute elevator pitch on your project and how and when to participate in the outbid launch that's coming up, just kind of real quick for the people that don't stick around for the long format, kind of get that all out there, and then we'll dive into the weeds a little bit more after that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll take over there and do that little intro, Chris. And thank you for, you know, having us on again. I will come every Sunday when you invite me, just so you know. Just working, grinding. I think you guys are going to get a wealth of info from Eric. This is his first time here and hopefully not his last, because he's a genius when it comes to economics and what to do with utility tokens. So yeah, AstroVault's amazing. We are honored to partner up with them and looking forward to what the future brings. Just a little overhead of us, Lunar Space. We are a custom SaaS and DSaaS solutions provider for enterprises, businesses, small, medium-sized businesses, freelance professionals, independent contractors, anything that you need to do with work, business operations in a platform, Lunar Space builds that. So we are integrating blockchain technology as we go, all useful things, nothing that is just like fluff to just try to get in with crypto. Everything we build goes directly to use within zones or affecting zones. And that's where the LSE token comes in. So I'm excited to dive into that and talk about how we're launching on Outbid.
Cool. Take over. Thank you guys for having me on. I'm Eric. I'm one of the co-founders of AstroVault. I do a lot of tokenomics work in general in crypto. I run a tokenomics consulting firm as well. Idea behind AstroVault is that I believe in the future of DeFi, and I believe that everything basically in DeFi has been built like crap. the idea that that these DEXs can run without revenue, that these tokens are worth something when they're not, has really, really troubled me. And I think all of us who have been here around a while have been spurned and screwed over by a bunch of DEXs that you farmed on, but then if you farm their token goes to zero. Oh, just spin up a new DEX, and nothing's built sustainably. And if I want decentralized business to grow, which I do, we need decentralized infrastructure, like financial infrastructure, that can withstand selling pressure and can justify valuations of tokens. And so we built AstroVault as a way of building that sustainably, where, like, right now, yes, liquidity providers can farm our token. However, not only do we earn the trade fees, but we also earn revenue directly from our liquidity. We're the first DEX to really monetize its own liquidity. Yes, we have cool things like super hyper concentrated liquidity pools, more so than anybody else, but we also understand how and when to use them. But fundamentally, our users, I tweeted this out recently, our users can LP to earn more than the trading fees while earning less than the overall pool revenue, allowing a positive profit margin for the DAO to run profitably, which we actively are, which is incredibly different from other DEXs. So that's the core version of AstroVault. But then a lot of our pitches, as we go to these different teams, we showcase like, hey, like these other DEXs aren't supporting you. If you list on AstroVault, we're going to run nodes for you. We're going to help you with infrastructure. But then as we earn your guys' tokens, we're literally invested in the people listed on us. We're also going to help you with marketing. We're also going to help you with BizDev. We'll help you with tokenomics. Like, we're going to try to drive you sales, because if you guys go to zero, so does that area of our treasury. Whereas if you guys go to the moon, so does that area of our treasury. So we're literally invested in you guys more than other DEXs are. But it's always trying to get these late stage projects that are already listed elsewhere, like on Osmosis or something else, and trying to convince them that, hey, trust this little unknown DEX that you hadn't heard of before. And they do, because we have a hell of a pitch. It's a really good offer. We'll pay you more and we'll do more for you, because unlike any other DEX, we actually earn from you. But how much easier would it be if, you know, we can start with projects liquidity on us? And we had to launch our own token, and we really weren't satisfied with launch pads in the ecosystem. And so we're like, you know what, we can build a launch pad that also drives sales. That's more fun than anything else people are used to. And we don't have to pretend to make it sustainable. AstroVault's sustainable. We don't need to make a whole bunch of money from a launch pad, because we make a whole bunch of money from our debts. So we built Outbid. We raised $310,000 for ourselves on it when nobody really knew who we or it was. And now we're ready to take it public. So that's what we'll be using for the LSE token launch.
Right on. That's excellent. And I look forward to learning more about AstroVault. So like I said at the start, appreciate you guys sharing that. If real quick, the outbid campaign, that's where you came in, obviously. That goes on May 15th. Can you just quickly tell everybody what they're going to need to participate in that? Who, what type of person would be interested in the LSE token, possibly what they need and when to participate in that? And then we'll get into some Q&A. And as always, guys, at the end, we'll definitely open it up to the floor so you guys can come up and ask questions too. So you guys want to expand on that?
Yep, sorry, was muted. Yeah, absolutely. Let's kind of start with just kind of going over LSE again, right? The effector tokens. So you're either, you asked the question, who would be interested in this? Effector tokens, LSE tokens, they are multi-purpose utility tokens. So on one side, businesses, enterprises utilizing the Zones ecosystem and earning from the work-to-earn protocol, earning LSX in their ecosystem, they would want to inject the effector protocol and LSE tokens into their ecosystem to do a few different things, to boost the LSX redemption cap, to boost their Zones APR percentage, and to boost the rate of which you can mint and buy LSX, as well as the rate of which you can earn HAMP tokens. So there's a lot of different, or there's pretty much four different crucial ways that LSE affects Zones directly. And the cool part about LSE is it's not just dependent on affecting that protocol itself. On the other hand, it's open to the public to participate in a kind of an open forum of the Zones ecosystem. So with our DZones platform, it's a much more accessible, personal use type of turnkey solution platform that people can, anybody can go in and utilize different interchain protocols that are integrated within, or utilize some pretty basic like file share, task management, and team management tools. So with LSE tokens, there's a lot you can do within, or I'm sorry, beyond Zones, which is you can put your token to use for governance and rev share. So we have distribution of rev share from the Zones ecosystem into LSE token holders who are staking with Astro Vault. So, and throughout different pairings. One pairing we're excited about is LSE to LSX, because LSX is with that pairing allows Zones internal token economy to go in and work throughout the interchain and do a lot of DeFi stuff. So that's really cool things. And then the personally, so an individual can also kind of join along and tag along to what Zones are doing with that type, with LSE tokens. And yeah, so then there's just a cross-chain liquidity. You can activate different different protocols throughout DZones with LSE tokens. And yeah, I mean, like someone said that it just kind of does token things, but it does a lot of token things, and you can pick and choose what you do with your tokens, as well as affecting the overall ecosystem, which is why I think it's a pretty unique token. So Eric, if you want to kind of piggyback off of that and go into how it would work on Outbid.
Yeah, and just to add, part of the question was like, who would want it? Obviously, people who are planning on purchasing like services from Lunar Space, which like Astro Vault is, probably have two companies that are going to actively like, we need this solution. It is a better solution than what exists on just Web2 or just on Web3. So clients are definitely going to want the token, but additionally, speculators who believe in the team and think that the decentralized business is going to grow should want the token. I mean, we're getting an offer at $750,000 valuation. In my opinion, that's like FDV, fully minted. In my opinion, that's a pretty really good opportunity that they're offering to us. I'm going to participate, but to each their own. But speculators and clients, it works too. As for how Outbid's going to work and what you guys are going to need to participate, we are going to launch this Outbid campaign on Archway. So you're going to need USDC, either Axelar or Noble, Atom, IST, which is Interstable token from Agoric, or Corium. You can actually participate with the Corium token or Arch or ASV, the Astrovault native token. Any of those are able to participate. They're willing to do up to 6 rounds, each round up to $50,000 raised, but you have to bridge it to Archway. You can do any of that from Astrovault's UI at astrovault.io.
See, I think you can kind of see how intuitive and cool of a platform this is. Like you, Chris, we saw Astrovault before we partnered with them, and then they launched on Outbid, and it was just impressive and fun. And a really just cool way to get the that initial engagement in a fun way. So yeah, we're super excited about that. The 6 rounds, 6 days will be great. We're gonna go live just as the Astrovault team did at that same time. So yeah, it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, and I agree with what Eric said about the need for it as Corium Community DAO is partnering planning on having zone, utilizing the zones. It's definitely our interest in it here. So full disclosure.
Thank you, and Eric. And I'm glad that you guys partnered, and I think that with the services and the solutions you provide at Lunar Space, and with the utility and the protocol that's available on Astrovault and what Eric has been building, I think there's a lot that will, in time, solve, as Eric Stride says, that what you guys are building and doing is not available right now. And I think that it's important to have, utility that solves, the pain points that exist in Web3, and you guys are actually about that. And that is, what we support here at the Super Ledger podcast. And what I found unique with what Eric has been doing is that the fun aspect, we sometimes come into this space and, we get in one way, and then it kind of traumatizes us, by the time we are in here for a while. But it's good that, you're thinking outside the box and you're providing solutions and ways that people can help to build the future, but also have fun doing it. And I myself, I'm looking forward to the launch and Outbid for Lunar Space and LSE and what you guys are building out. But Eric, if you don't mind, please, could you just maybe give us a brief history of what, Astrovault is? How did it come about? How did the name come about? Because it's a very interesting name. And, what was the vision initially when you guys started Astrovault?
Sure, I'd be happy to go into that. One side note, you might want to hop back in. I'm pretty sure you didn't hear Chris talking earlier. I know Elon Rogers is like that sometimes. So a little bit of history about Astrovault is our team's been around for a really long time. I worked in casinos, had a pretty solid career there, did card counting on the side, got into crypto as a hobby after I got banned everywhere from card counting. Worked my way up, started a podcast, actually helped solve problems for people that they didn't know existed, which is a pretty good way to work your way up and get jobs, show people problems they didn't know they had and already have the solution for it. So I worked my way up quite a bit with a lot of projects close to Secret Network, helped a lot of the founders avoid things like Limbus DAO, got them to get out before it crashed, while a lot of other people were like, oh, this is the future, this is great, and built their entire projects based on it, or Terra Luna. Couldn't get them all the way out of Terra, but I tried. Anyways, they finally were like, hey, you have a lot of good ideas, you know your shit, what would you like to build? And I walked them through what I wanted to build, which was not Astrovault. It was a Web2 casino. And they kept trying to think, oh, you want it on chain. I don't want to build a casino on chain. There's no need for a casino to be on chain. The only things that help with on chain is crowdsourcing liquidity for ownership and perpetual and safe volume incentivization, which we can do properly. It takes a whole bunch of money to make work. And the issue is it would destroy absolutely everything in DeFi. They're like, oh, okay, so this would be like too big for a secret swap. You need to like Osmosis. I'm like, no, this would break Osmosis. This would break Uniswap. Like AMMs are not in a place to handle decentralized business in the way that it needs to operate. So like, well, what would it take? And so we built out the model that ended up being Hydro Finance. We ended up not getting any of the funding or any of the development or any of the promises that were given to us on Secret Network. So we pivoted. We basically got rugged, as we feel. And we had been talking to a lot of other people to bootstrap liquidity anyways. They all wanted us to build on them. We met up with Archway, chose to build on them out of the several offers we had. And we needed a new brand. So we looked around. We thought Astroport was going to fully die because don't mean to be a jerk, but they're not incredibly special and they got hurt really bad from Terra Luna collapse, which is fair. So we're like, hey, we need something space themed. Now we kind of regret the branding because like, oh, aren't you guys like Astroport or a fork of it? Like, no, we have nothing to do with them. So we're not super attached to the branding. We just needed something. We just cared more about like the model and building DeFi sustainably. So we've been building on Archway since July 2022. I actually worked for them October 2022 through July 2023 as their tokenomics lead. Check out their econ paper. I wrote it. I designed it. But Archway has been sustainable. They're doing a good job. They've been a great host. Their chain has 100% uptime. We're also expanding though. We are going multi-chain. We'll be deployed on Neutron pretty soon. We're open to build on Corium or anywhere else. It's like the model can go anywhere and we don't see the point in adding the expense of running our own chain when we can work on every other chain and we don't want to hurt our ability to partner with others.
Right on. I just brought Articulate back up there. So might have dropped out there for a second, but I think we got him back there. And so you did mention Corium can be used as part of the campaign. So I just want to go, I said, for those that might be not sticking with us till the end here, just, you know, we kind of show everybody what that looks like. Does that mean Corium will be able to be on AstroVault as a pair also, or not related?
So, I mean, we have a pool with their token live on a private version of the site, so it's not public facing, which is where we have all our pools and staging environments. We would like to list it. We've been working with the team, talking to them about it. They have a stricter legal compliance for listing assets than like as far as DeFi goes. So we haven't had luck in actually getting the pool seeded. So we might just try to crowdsource it. But whether we get that pool live in time or not, you'll still be able to use Corium. You'll still be able to deposit from the UI. You just won't really be able to trade it. The only thing you'll really be able to do with it is use it for the LSE launch. And this is thanks to the Lunar Space team who have chosen to accept, slightly less liquid tokens like Corium, like AXV, like Arch, because these are their partners that they want to be invested in anyways. They don't need to cash out everything. Obviously, it's better if they get a whole bunch of USDC, but if they get a decent amount in these other tokens as well that they would like to use towards liquidity, that can still help a lot.
Okay, right on. So May 15th, it launches. You've told us the assets we need to participate in that, 6 rounds up to 50K a round. Can you demonstrate or kind of walk us through somebody that wants to participate, what that looks like, or at least one round looks like?
Yeah, so I believe the first 15 minutes will be whitelist only. So if it fills out in the first 15 minutes, then you'll have to wait till round 2. But then if it does get past that 15 minutes and it's public participation, then anybody else can participate. And once you participate in any round, you'll be added to the whitelist of any future rounds. You will go to the AstroVault.io website. It's going to prompt you to connect your wallet, as you do. And then it's going to ask you to make a permit, it's called. It's a free transaction. If you're wondering, like, hey, what is this sketch thing? Basically, that's what enables us to have like all of your tax documents, your CSV type stuff saved by your wallet. So we don't have to save any of your information. You guys have all your stuff aggregated for you. You could do things like view my portfolio and sort everything however you want, because we have everything saved inside like by logs based on your own contract that we just have built in. We do things differently than everyone else. We use IBC differently than everyone else. But once you log in, connect your wallet and make a permit, you'll be able to see the dashboard widgets you could drag and drop. On the left-hand menu, the very bottom option is going to say Outbid. Click on there. You'll see a list including 2 campaigns. One will be the AstroVault one that we completed. The other one will be the Lunar Space one that's just going live. Click into there, and it's honestly really easy to use. This works on mobile as well if you want to do it through your Leap wallet. Basically, just deposit whatever assets, and you go there, and you click Bid. You can change the dollar amount, but the minimum ticket size is $100. And it's really straightforward and easy to use. The only other things that you'll do on there are mess around. You can set your own nickname. You can change other people's nicknames on the leaderboard. You might win an NFT. You might win some extra tokens as you bid. But really, it's just have fun, play the game, hop in on the Twitter space while they're live. It's almost like a sellathon or like a telethon type thing. But we need Lunar Space to do well. We need them to raise a whole bunch of money, not just because Lunar Space is a brilliant business and project and they have expensive developer needs because they're building hardcore stuff. But also because we want more deal flow. We want more people to come to Outbid. We want to be a great opportunity for upcoming projects to launch on without charging them 10% of cash, like a like Eclipse Finance does, or without charging them like 3,000 Osmo and 4.2% of cash like StreamSwap does. Like, we're only taking tokens, we're only taking them on the back end, and all of them go to Bootstrap Liquidity. So we're the most cost effective, but we're also the most fun. So if this goes well and more teams see that this is a solid opportunity for them to get bootstrapped, then it'll be good for AstroVault and Outbit as well.
Yeah,
Go ahead, Henry.
One thing just to add on top of that, Eric said like bootstrapped and heavy. We have heavy development. This is a great way. Outbid's a great way to kind of think of it as a public community VC event. Anyone participating is our VCs, rather than us having to kind of sell our souls to VCs and then do a whole bunch of different things that benefit them rather than our initial community and our clients, because we're client-centric, and we also want to give back to all the people that have been supporting us for so long, which is a lot of you guys in this space. And any FBZs, I'm hoping that anyone hearing that, you guys know who you are. Send me your token addresses so we can get you in that first 15-minute whitelist. And I know who all of you are, so yeah, just get me those and we can get that going.
Okay, that's great. And so I get the gamified process, because yes, it does make it a very engaging process. That's what I found so interesting about the AXV token launch. What part of the design of Outbid, like, is it just purely just to create a gamified experience and a good user experience, or is some of its design for a launch pad address the regulatory side of it?
Great question, actually. We don't get asked often about the regulatory side. We were shocked we were able to get this passed legal, because, you know, launch pads are a difficult thing to get by. Fundamentally, the reason we were able to get it passed is because we don't sell tokens, we sell tickets. So people can use our interface to sell tickets, and then the teams themselves can redeem the tickets for the tokens. We just facilitate the sale of tickets that have no monetary value. So that kind of a neat legal loophole, if you will. But as for how and why we designed it the way we did, we weren't happy with what's built. I mean, the way launch pads work is, you know, you try to get a bunch of KOLs to get people hyped up so that they buy your bags, and you have to pay them a bunch of money, and there's already like very little margin, and launch pads are trying to be their own businesses. Like, it's a crap model. And then especially like the bigger launch pads, well, a lot of the times the teams that are raising on them don't even get to keep any of the money. Like, if you're using, say, Bybit or something, like, you have to guarantee that they like make so much on their return, or else you have to give all of the money back. And it's basically just a marketing stunt. Like, some teams don't just need the marketing publicity. Teams like actually need funding without going to all these VCs and selling their souls. AstroVault never took any VCs. We needed funds. We're like, huh, we can go to Eclipse. Don't really like the deal that they're offering. Kind of feel like they're being rude to us. We could go to StreamSwap, and like, I actually really do like StreamSwap, but it's great for price discovery. But it's more like an LBP. It's not really like a proper sales round, and none of these things actually drive sales. There's no reason to keep driving money. It's just only whatever hype you can get, and then it fizzles out. And that's not good enough for me. Like, something should be driving sales. So the reason for the gamification is so that more money will come in. And it worked. We ran out of what I would call organic demand at $202,000. And then the gamification process of like continuing to bid and having these jackpots teased in front of your face led to another $108,000 coming in. So we raised $310,000 instead of $202,000. And then we did end up giving out a $33,000 jackpot, which is huge. And if it wasn't a very real jackpot that somebody is actually going to win, the gimmick wouldn't work. It has to be real. We were really nervous, like, oh God, we're only going to raise $200,000 to give out a $50,000 jackpot. It looked like that for a while. We didn't. It worked. People came through. At the same time, they all said they had the most fun they've ever had in their life. So it tells us the feedback was great. Everyone who participated wants to come back and participate again, which is great. We need the users to not only have fun, but also make money so that we can keep getting return users. We want to make sure that that your mom and your grandma, who's like heard about crypto maybe, but has no idea what it is, that if they want exposure to crypto, the best way they could do it is just throw $100 in every Outbid campaign and that they'll do well. And so we've been selective over who to be our second project to use it. We really like the Lunar Space team and really value what they're building. We've turned down quite a few. We have quite a few queued up, but we'll see if it sticks or if it was just a one-time thing. But I'm pretty partial. I think it's going to go very well.
Excellent. Yeah, and that's the part I caught. I did catch the gamification part of it, and somebody winning $33,000 for being part of the launch. It was interesting indeed. And And like I said, it works. And I'm really looking forward to Lunar Space being part of that. And, you know, the other part of it is Astroval in itself is fairly young and growing. I think you have fairly ambitious plans for it. What sets Astrovault aside from other DEXs, would you say? Like, why what you're doing, is it better?
We are the only DEX that's profitable. In all of Web3, we stand alone as the only DEX that is profitable, which is wild. It's wild for anything in tech, let alone in DeFi, to be actually profitable. But it's true. I mean, we take our weekly P&Ls. This last week, we made prices were down, so we only made $25,000 in revenue this last week, and we only spent $16,000 or so. It might have been less. But what I call that spend is net emissions, which most people don't even count like token emissions as expenditure. I think that they should. Decentralized business is going to do this. Like, you should be printing tokens to decentralize expense. But yes, that's true, that's expense that's not coming from our pocket. But yeah, I tweeted out a couple days ago, I think, the idea that liquidity providers on Astrovault can earn more than just the trade fees while earning less than the pool revenue. What you're seeing on every other DEX is that the LPs might earn a little bit more than the trade fees because tokens are being emitted, but the DAOs earn absolutely nothing. Like, the DEX earns nothing. The value of the token is completely speculative. There's no revenue to actually base it on. And if there is, it's minuscule, especially compared to the expenses. So like, everyone else is running at like a 90% plus loss, and we're running at like a 40% profit. Like, it's obscene, and it scales. It scales really well, like beyond just the Cosmos ecosystem. So we're going to deploy on some more Cosmos chains because it's easier, but we're also going to take this outside of Cosmos. We just announced last week that we're going to build on Ten Network as an Ethereum L2. And there's no reason Uniswap's not earning ETH from ETH staking rewards. Coinbase has most of the tokens on their platform actively staked, actively hypothecated, because they only need to keep enough liquid to process withdrawals. We do that, but in DeFi. We're the only ones to do that in DeFi.
That's huge. Huge, yeah. And I've been watching, you know, this grow. And how many pairs do you have on the DEX at the moment?
I don't know. Probably like 40. 40, 50.
Yeah, somehow. I heard you recently say that at one point you envision all wrapped Bitcoin flowing through Astrovault. Can you explain that? Or not all? Sorry, not all. Sorry, lots.
Yeah. So I can clarify on that a little bit. I mentioned earlier, like, what I believe really sets Astrovault apart is liquidity monetization, which literally nobody else has done yet. But another thing that does set it apart, just like if you ignore that, which it's a huge thing to ignore, is we do have the most concentrated liquidity possible. We have more concentrated liquidity than anybody else. We just are selective on when and where we use it. Our team is better at DeFi than most people are. We're researchers. A lot of the other teams are like L1 enthusiasts and whatnot that can make a DEX, which is great. But then the DEX is entirely copy. Almost every DEX that you're ever going to see is almost entirely forked. We're the only one that's not forked at all, other than Uniswap, who otherwise created things their own. But we understand it better. You know, more than 50% of LPs on Uniswap are losing money right now in the new concentrated liquidity pools. And you end users don't understand that. Projects that are being told, oh, just launch your token with a concentrated liquidity, it's going to be safer, don't understand the risks that they're going. If they try to grow any protocol on liquidity or whatnot, it's going to be entirely rugged from them by random users. Like, it is fundamentally not safe. That being said, we know when it is safe, we know when it's not safe, and what quantities basically is not safe. So for tokens, we launched a paper, you can find it at astrovault.io/whitepaper/TF, short for time flux, which is the type of pools that we're talking about. It works for basically like pegged assets, as well as assets that we don't affect their price at all. Things like Bitcoin, there's no level of trading on Astrovault that's going to significantly impact the actual price of Bitcoin. So we're fine taking Bitcoin at an external price, has nothing to do with the activity on Astrovault, and processing all trades at that price. We're doing the same thing right now with Osmosis as well. We dropped a thread like, hey, we're actually the best place to trade Osmo. And it was true. So like right now, at least on half of trades, we're the best place to trade Osmo. Sometimes it's all of them. When we have way less liquidity than Osmosis does, and Osmosis does have concentrated liquidity pools, ours is just more concentrated. And our volume on it's been like much higher than others, but a lot of people are still taking worse trades on platforms they're familiar with because they don't know AstroVault. Eventually, DeFi will be separated into liquidity hubs and aggregators. We're designed to be the most logical liquidity hub. We built out volume incentives so that will incentivize aggregation through us automatically as a referral fee, like built into the protocol through Gravitate. But once these aggregators are set up, anybody who is actively trading Bitcoin, that trade will route through AstroVault instead of Osmosis. A lot of the people trading Osmo, that trade will route through AstroVault instead of Osmosis. Like, that's bold. That's going to be huge for our volume. Our volume leads to more protocol and liquidity and more token buybacks. It's just, we don't have mature enough aggregators yet. And AstroVault's not integrated in the ones that there are.
And so when you say you're building on or expanding onto other chains, other projects, is that liquidity, is that still all aggregated in the same process?
So a proper aggregator, it shouldn't really matter what chains we're built on, but it will get us, it will make us better able to partner with others and broaden our reach. To us, it doesn't matter if it's all the liquidity is on one chain, if all the liquidity is on eight chains. We built out Astro, like the AXV token, very similar to how USDC was built with Noble, where it can kind of burn and mint on demand anywhere without having to do the weird IBC unwinding, if you will. That also enables us to burn and mint it to finish cross-chain trades in the middle of a trade. That's kind of like a self-aggregation, or like a multi-chain router, as we call it. But it's still not as good as a proper aggregator would be. I don't think we can win that game. Honestly, my current bet's on swing.xyz. I think that they're absolutely brilliant. And so like, while we make sense as the best long-term liquidity hub, they might make sense as the best long-term aggregator. Either way, it will be a series of both that work in harmony for the everyman to be able to buy crypto. Building on more chains allows us to have more partners, allows us more access to more liquidity. We want to be the best partner we possibly can. We want to come in. We want to help you raise for your token. We want to help run infrastructure for you. We want to help you with marketing. We want to help you with biz dev. We went in. We redesigned Jackal's tokenomics. We built in commission so we can help grow their sales. We pitch it to everyone we possibly can because we believe in their service. Their token went way up where it should. It should go way up from here. It's a huge project that was like underrepresented, but you're not going to see other DEXs do that. They have no reason to. They don't earn Jackal. Meanwhile, we were earning hundreds of thousands of Jackal. That's now worth hundreds of thousands of dollars for us. So like that makes sense. As we go into other chains, we don't have the fight of like, oh, well, if we list on you, that's going to take TVL away from us. Like right now, talking to Corium, like Corium would much rather whatever liquidity that they deploy on AstroVault be on the Corium chain. That makes sense. That's part of their vanity metrics. That's part of their security. That's something that they can tout to their investors. We don't care what chain it's on. We just want it on AstroVault. If it's on AstroVault on Archway, great. If it's on AstroVault on Corium, great. We don't care. It works just as well anywhere. Kind of like local banking.
Right. So, well, that's great. So then there could come a day where we see AstroVault on Corium, not just necessarily Corium on AstroVault.
Yeah. I mean, if things work out, again, we have no VC backing. All we have is from the community. We've already collected $400,000 in grants. That's most of what's been getting us by. We charge a lot. Other DEXs charge a lot less because they're just forked garbage. That's not going to compete with anybody. If anybody wants a premium DEX on their chain, AstroVault's really the only option. And we can go anywhere and everywhere, but there is, like, thankfully, we're blessed to be in a position where there is a little bit of a bidding war. We have a lot of people's attention. We have a lot of people asking for us. So, hopefully it works out.
Well, revenues will do that, eh? It draws attention. Devon, I see you requesting there. We'll get you up here for sure at the end, a little bit here. We'll get everybody a chance to come up and ask questions for sure. Articulate, did you have anything that you want to add there?
Where was I? Let me see. Yeah, so thank you, Eric, and thank you, Henry, for such valuable information provided so far. I'm learning a lot every time Eric speaks. Very knowledgeable, very knows the game in and out. And I think that, you know, you partnering with Lunar Space and, you know, all the things you're doing, we being partners with Lunar Space as well, I think that it sets, you know, everything up uniquely for the future with the tools that are about to roll out. I also saw Henry posted a screenshot just before the space, And, you know, it got my attention. You know, Henry, would you mind speaking to that? Is that a preview of what's to come? What are we seeing in that screenshot that you posted a few hours ago?
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that just before I do touch on that, I know Devon was wanted to ask Eric about validating on Astro Vault. So if Eric could just touch on that, because I know that he, Devon also doesn't, he can't stay very long. Oh, he might already be gone, actually. So never mind. Let's, that could still be something good. I think a good question for Eric to answer later. But for now, that screenshot, yeah, the sidebar, is it posted up there? Yeah, it is. So that is the D-zones and zones, like pretty much just the sidebar. It's a Figma image of what is actually there, obviously. That's not exactly how it looks. But yeah, that's just a little teaser for everything that you're going to see on the standard tools for each zone.
Nice. Thank you for that. And being, you know, following what Archway has been doing and the platform they rolled out recently called the Drop Camp, Eric, can you elaborate more on what that is? And, you know, I know that you guys were one of the first projects to be dropped into people's, you know, wallets as a reward for participating in that campaign. Could you elaborate more on Drop Camp and what it is and how we can participate in the future of being a part of Astro Vault?
So I no longer speak for the Archway team directly, but as a community member, I can attest to like kind of how it's designed. Basically, they're hoping more projects airdrop to them, which is fair. Every L1 should want that. We worked out a deal with them. We had applied for a Prop 33 on Archway, where basically we're like, hey, give us 750K in POL, and we'll airdrop 750K at the lowest outbid price to you guys. Ended up at the very end, like in the last hour, barely flipping and failing, which was very surprising to us. A whole bunch of people who had literally never shown up to anything Archway ever just voted it down. So that was interesting. Anyways, they then asked us airdrop. We were like, no, like you guys had your option. Like we have no VC backing. We're trying to get by without funding. We hadn't done outbid at the time. So we're like, we're not going to give tokens away for free. That's like my ethos is different than a lot of the Web3 ethos of like, oh, just wing it and see what happens. I don't like that very much. So we worked out a deal with their foundation where basically they give us 500K in POL. And then after 2 months, we were to airdrop to their community an equivalent amount, similar to what Lavana did with Osmosis, where it's like a loan to be repaid in your token. So we did that. It worked well. But at the time, like we don't care how it's performed. They had just built out Drop Camp. And so they're like, hey, can you guys airdrop into Drop Camp? We're like, yeah, we're happy to. That makes sense. We like being the guinea pig, the first mover in the Archway ecosystem, as we have been since before launch. So we pulled it off. Basically, it's a platform. It's like Galaxy, but a little bit more on chain, and it kind of pre-screens high value users instead of making them do a whole bunch of tasks for every single airdrop. Instead, they can kind of pre-do tasks in a way that then you can make airdrops really easy. So our airdrop, just the same as it was to our original LPs, was super easy. You just click a button on the dashboard and you're able to claim it. Meanwhile, we were able to make sure that we were airdropping to people that were providing value, that were giving us the follows on Twitter, that were bringing liquidity over to Astro Vault and actually trading on Astro Vault, that were buying Arch IDs, like whatever the different criteria was. So and I know they're hoping that as more projects build on Archway, that if they give grants and whatnot, part of the terms will be an airdrop gets included, and the airdrop will probably go through Drop Camp. So if you do use Archway a lot, if you do use Astro Vault a lot, it makes sense to go register on Drop Camp. And just every time there's going to be a new patch to mint, go mint the patch, the NFT, because a lot of people forgot to do that. And that's actually how they push the data on chain for the other teams to be able to like kind of pick it up in a spreadsheet format and adjust the airdrop.
Nice. And I had attended one of your spaces right after the Drop Camp, the AVX airdrop, and AXV, sorry, airdrop. And I learned, you know, pretty much the criteria that allowed some to benefit more than others and what the AstroVault team look for. And, you know, how you say, for instance, you know, gave what the distribution. And I think it's, you know, valuable and it's very insightful to know that you guys look for, you know, when we're doing these rewards or distribution, the people who are, say, more valuable per se, but who help to see through the vision of what the platform is. So over, say, someone who is just, you know, tweeting about, you know, what's going on, someone who provides liquidity or someone who farms, you know, they would probably be more valuable in your eyes per se because of the fact that they're participating in the ecosystem that you guys are building out and helping to provide that liquidity that makes AstroVault such a success. And I think that makes sense and it's fair because, you know, also too, you know, someone else may have limitations in how much they can participate, but because of the vision of what you guys are doing and what sustains and maintains, you know, the ecosystem, you know, I did value that point of view.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, realistically, every business is going to price out their customers. Like you can, a common metric is LTV, lifetime value per customer. And then you have different tiers and the whole 80-20 rule where 80% of your value is going to come from 20% of your customers. We're happy for people to come follow us on Twitter if that's not going to make us money. The whole idea of airdrop farming, which we saw a lot of that there on Archway, is a lot of people just doing the social things because it's free. And if you can get an airdrop for free, then it's free money. And so we'll see a lot of people that are never going to use the product, that are never going to bring money in, just try to extract free money. And to facilitate the product, we're happy to do that to some extent, but not very much. Like we'd rather them just get like a $20 or $30 airdrop instead of like a $100 airdrop. If somebody's got tens of thousands of dollars on our decks, we're happy to give them a $1,000 airdrop, you know, because they're already providing a ton of value. So we'd rather the value be concentrated to the users that are actively bringing us value. We make money from our liquidity. We ranked liquidity provision much higher than other things. Unfortunately, a lot of the core AstroVault users didn't actually participate in Drop Camp, which I thought was interesting. I would have preferred that they did, would have had rather had more of the value go towards them. But either way, like it wasn't our airdrop to choose what to do with for the most part. Like in our opinion, like it was something that we owed Archway, that we paid off that debt for a protocol and liquidity. And yeah, I mean, we'll see how it goes. We'll see if people change how they use it based on ours. Being the first to do it is always a lot of pressure. But if anything, I regret not even weighting it higher towards liquidity provision than we even did.
Chris?
So I was going to ask, you know, now that we're talking about Archway a bit, Henry, so you've launched on Corium the LSX token and the HAMP protocol, you know, for reasons we've discussed at great length and understand all that and encourage others to go back and listen to those previous podcasts because it's just too big of a project to try and integrate. And I know it's a challenge to answer some of these questions without diving deep, but I guess one thing I was wondering, I lost my train of thought, but one of my questions I did have when you refer to LSE and LSX being in pools, I would suspect that'd be a fairly stable pool, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's a great question, and that is exactly why that's probably one of the most exciting things about having LSE out on the open market and having LSX be the driving factor of the actual internal zones economy. That's been the goal since the beginning. We just kind of had to take it one step at a time, and Corium, obviously, for many reasons that we've unpacked at great length, is the best place to allow the programmable smart tokens is the key reason for Corium, because every zone can customize their reward protocol and just have that immutability and that accessibility to easy on-chain access like that is just beautiful. And the fact that we can make the token consistent in price means that we can onboard enterprises who would be scared of utilizing crypto. So that's obviously the key for Corium, and then ISO as well, compliancy and their regulatory stuff. So we can actually provide use case to the United States with this type of stuff, because that's where, you know, that's where enterprise is. That's where our the Zones ecosystem, the Web 2.5, can actually make an impact. So we absolutely, like, we're a full, the Zones internal economy runs through Corium, but the entire ecosystem is open. As you can see on that left nav, like, AstroVault is there, Archway is there, Jackal is there, and we're Lunar Space IBC. So we integrate the what we see as the most useful tools throughout the ecosystem into our actual solutions. So, and you can activate them as you go. You can use one at a time. You don't need to have a full enterprise behind your zone. It can just be a, if you're a freelance professional doing independent stuff for a bunch of different projects, you can compile it all here and earn rewards as well as do DeFi stuff. It's like a super fun platform to for anybody to use, and we hope that like generic employees can actually find fun in using this type of stuff. People who have never used crypto or blockchain can use these streamlined tools without even knowing it. So Archway kind of provides that UX UI that is just beautiful. And a lot of you can kind of onboard dApp. It's dApp chain utility. So it really just kind of mixes the whole Zones ecosystem into one big IBC melting pot. And that's been the goal forever. So.
Yeah, thank you. And that's where I was going with that, is why is LSE on Archway? So thank you for answering that for me. And so one thing I recently seen, and whoever wants to respond to this, I just don't know much about it yet, is I see that Archway announced that zero fees, zero transaction fees. And I know that the XRPL's got a new amendment kind of to address the same thing, where the fees can be sponsored, I guess you could say, so that the user doesn't have to deal with that. Can either one of you expand on that?
Can't expand as much as I'd like to. Normally, I would have been the guy on the team to, like, fully design this. I'm not on the team anymore, so I didn't. We also weren't given full exposure to how this is done yet. So we got a DM recently, like, hey, are you guys ready for this? Like, no, we're not. So I know that's supposed to roll out tomorrow. That will not be the case on AstroVault tomorrow. But as soon as it's easy for us to do and not, like, a difficult build, as our guys are really busy, we'll bring that to users as fast as possible. We don't care too much about the dev rewards. That is kind of like the selling point of Archway. Our whole thing is, like, we never needed Archway to be sustainable, but it would basically be either us anywhere or a DEX on Archway that could get rewards that could be sustainable. Our DEX has made, like, outside of deals, our DEX has made like $700,000 in revenue since we launched in last July. And we're earning now at a rate of almost $2 million a year. Meanwhile, we've earned like 25K in dev rewards from Archway. We really, like, that's minuscule. We don't care too much about that. So if we can get rid of the dev rewards and make sure that we have an easier onboarding for our users, that's absolutely what we're going to choose. So really like that they're doing this. It's supposed to be like a better build out of the fee grant, which we've already integrated. I think AstroVault actually did the first ledger compatible fee grant in all of Cosmos. It took us a bunch of work, especially with all the wallet providers. But yeah, apparently it's going to be the case where now you can, like, customize your smart contracts to allow specific users or specific like types of usage to have the fees abstracted. And I think that has to come from the team. I think the foundation might cover so much. I really don't know enough about it yet. I just want to make sure that it's secure. You know, part of what's great about AstroVault and part of my design with it is that it's with Archway, I mean, is that, like, it can't get DDoS. It's really damn expensive to DDoS it. And if that's no longer safe, then that would concern me. But I'm pretty sure that they've got some kind of customization in there where, like, hey, when the blocks are this full, we're going to wind this down and it costs money again. But for general purpose, when the blocks aren't that full and you're not getting DDoS, if we can make an easier onboarding experience for, I know they're trying to bring in NFT degens to Amber, the new NFT marketplace they built. But obviously, we're trying to bring in new traders make it easy to buy Arch for the first time. We have a fee grant set up for that, but it'd be a lot easier if there was just zero gas. You could just come to Astroworld and buy Arch with whatever you got. So we're looking forward to learning more about it, but we don't know quite as much as we'd like.
Okay, great. Thank you for that.
And I can just kind of, let me briefly expand on the Archway Dev Zone, right? Because that kind of goes into that. So one of the reasons why we also partnered up with Archway is so that we can provide the platform for ease of onboarding of Web2 developers into this. So one use case for the platform would be for a like Web2 development company to do their job on this platform while also exploring different things throughout the ecosystem. And with Archway Dev Zones, they have great developer UX UI, and they have interesting reward models, as Eric said. And they're constantly working on that. That's their focus. So it's a great place for Web2 developers to kind of learn Web3 and build directly in IBC dApps and protocols through Archway Dev Zones. And they can kind of manage their build, their DevOps and BizDev builds through that. So it's a great educational type of tool with Archway Dev Zones. And hopefully it is enticing to Web2 developers.
And if I may, that point, Henry, with you know, bringing the Web 2 to Web 3. Last week, you on the podcast, you passed through and you dropped some very valuable information. And just following up on that, you mentioned that in the near future, sometime this month, possibly. You guys will have your first enterprise on lunar space. Can you give us some more insight if that's something still in the works, or is it? Because I was very excited. I know it was some alpha, but could you expand on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm not gonna like expand deeply on the actual company or who it is. Just because of obviously NDAs and stuff like that, but it's a full enterprise zone build. They like the Web3 stuff. They're very interested in it. They're going to be our kind of first evolution from the existing Web2 into this new Web3 environment, Web 2.5 environment. It's not going to be a super hard transition for them because we go in there and we know their processes and their employee screens, as we call them, just what everyone's looking at in separate, because everyone has different workflows throughout the company. So we just kind of go in there and customize their process for a few months. I'm not going to touch on that as much as I will, or as much as I guess I should, because Patrick kind of spearheads that entire initiative on onboarding these Web2 internal networks, right? Because we drop premise-based servers. So there's May 15th is the initial onboarding day. So that's we start the whole process at the same time. So it's a longer process, probably like 3 to 4 month customization setup. So yeah, we're just starting that Web 2.5 journey on at the middle of the month. And it's going to go into July. And then hopefully we use that whole custom setup to launch zones and D zones at the same time. So yeah, we're really excited about that. That is absolutely going through, and that is our mission and vision going forward. That is the meat of our companies, enterprise zones. These larger companies, 25 plus employees, all utilizing good customized work processes and also earning rewards through the work to earn protocol and LSX and HAMP. And then hopefully as they get a little bit more integrated with blockchain, because it'll be new to all of them, then they'll get incentivized to inject LSE and D zones into it and start using a lot of different IBC protocols. And that's where you guys will all already be. So that's bringing that full community there. So yeah, that's the mission and vision, and that is absolutely our key revenue process.
I was just going to say, and that's where RevShare comes in. So if we spoke earlier, if the LSE token, it's for obvious need for the Corn Community DAO, or Eric, we're using these tools, so it makes sense for us to have these tokens. But if you're just on the outside of that and wondering, well, why do I want to participate? It would be just for that purpose there. These like Lunar Space is a revenue generating operation, and that's how the rev share works, if I understand correctly. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So all the zones that are utilizing the work term protocol, yeah, there's a full shared revenue there. And that's an inherent process within each zone. So you have to onboard with LSX, you have to put it in your treasury, you have to bond it. And then you get HAMP tokens, and you can reward those out and mint them, pretty much cash them in for LSX. And the zone owner and admins can pretty much decide what they want to do with that. So that's an inherent process with that. And that's on every zone. And LSE gets rev share from that. So if you're interacting with LSE throughout the open market, then yeah, that's going to be a huge incentive. And with the LSE LSX pool, you asked I think it was Articulate, you said that would be a relatively like stable pool, and it will be. And the other exciting thing about that is arbitrage stuff. So the developers that do come on, the people that are a little bit more savvy with that, they can utilize that those pools and create some arbitrage opportunities for their earned LSX. So that's something that's in the works there, and that's going to be a really, really cool feature there.
I look forward to that. I know the Corn Community DAO is going to be using these tools, and excited to share that process and journey with the community as we build and grow with those. I'm going to start opening it up to questions. I see Bibby has a request here. I'm wondering if he might have hit that by mistake, but maybe he wants to come up just in case. I'll let him up there. But yeah, if anybody wants to come up there, see Sandy requesting earlier. Sorry, I missed you there. Come up and ask these guys some questions while they're here. Open up the floor for that.
Just before BB speaks, just want to say congrats to, Henry, Patrick, all the Lunar Space team. On what you guys have coming up, you're going to be having your first enterprise onboarding coming through, and also the outbid campaign on the same day launching. That's huge in my eyes, and I think that's something that you guys have worked tirelessly towards. And just to know that, the first set of HAMP tokens going to be starting to generate LSX, and see the process work in real time, and using that to fine tune what you guys are going to do in the future to onboard more enterprises. Congrats and hats off to you guys. You have worked hard to get here and deserve what's coming.
Thank you. Appreciate that a lot. Yeah, we work tirelessly, and that's another reason why partnering with AstroVault and the teams that we have partnered with, everyone is in this for the long haul. And it's fun, and it's going to be rewarding, and it's going to be impactful, and it's going to be beneficial to everybody. We're super excited about all of this, and is any questions from anybody? I do want to clarify one thing about the screenshot that I put up, though. A lot of what we still need to do is clean up the UX UI. I personally that is functional in the system currently. But I would like it to be a little bit cleaner, a little bit more. We're still deeply going to be developing UX UI, even from what you're seeing there.
Sounds good to me. I'm looking for, I keep bugging about, I'm looking for DAO tooling. That's really what I'm excited about, and
Oh yeah, that's
coming.
Yeah, that's you know, probably 75-80% of the way there in development. Still testing some stuff out, but that's going to be really cool. It's kind of just a little like mock-up version of DAO, where you kind of create your own DAO tooling for your internal zone, and you can invite external members through your own white labeled tokens throughout and utilize them within the zone's ecosystem through the HAMP system, human activity mining protocol. Everything you earn there, you can white label and then reward out through LSX, and then actually utilize it throughout the open market with LSE. So that's that incentive with the LSE pool. And that also comes with the privacy as a service, the soulbound tokens. So you can send private keys to external members so that they can have access to a certain part of your zone's ecosystem that you allow them. So it's a full kind of just, it's a really robust platform with a lot of really cool tools, honestly. And yeah, the DAO stuff is going to be a, enterprises can use it for like a internal feedback mechanism, like forums, where they can incentivize and reward employees for providing valuable information or insight about their process or their platform and what they would want to see changed. So that's how we are marketing the DAO features to Web2, is a feedback mechanism. But for Web3 people, it's a create your own DAO. And in the future, we're going to be integrating actual DAO tooling so that you can create your own DAO. That's where it's going to be really sick.
Yeah, and that's why like Core and Community DAO is so interested in what you guys are building, because they like this is run like a cooperative, basically, right? So there has to be a reason for people want to be part of, you know, the Core and Community DAO. Like, what value can we bring? And it's tools like this is what I envision as part of that, right? So your guys partnering with Jackal or Archway and integrating those tools into our zone, like that enables us to provide these tools to our community, what I hope and foresee, at a better value proposition than elsewhere, because we can utilize this reward structure and DeFi process to you know, provide them value for utilizing that thing from within our community. So for those of you wondering why I'm interested in, that's why. It's because I see massive potential here for tools that we're all going to want to use for some reason, whether it's on a business level, a personal level. It's the key thing for me is it's decentralized. It's our privacy matters. Yeah, so that's why I support initiatives like this, and I think support for all of us. It's not financial advice, but if it's just a project that's building something that you feel is important, that can make a difference, it's just important to support them. You know, maybe even if that's like, $10 buying their token or whatever it is, it's just important to support the people that are building these tools, because many of these tools I've seen had interest in before Lunar Space made partners. So I was watching Archway, I was watching Astrovault, watching Jackal, because I see the value that they're building and creating. And once Lunar Space came about and kind of brought all those together, I got really excited. So I have a lot of reasons to be bullish on this, but I just want to be transparent. I do have, you know, personal interest in this for the Core Community DAO. That's why I spend a lot of time talking and researching about it, because I want to utilize what you guys are building to the fullest advantage of the community. So that's, I just want to be transparent with all of that.
Sorry,
go ahead, Eric.
Chris, I also want to thank you for getting me in touch with Henry and the guys. I think you're the first one that reached out to me. You're like, hey, we got this really cool team that's building some cool stuff. And you had noticed some of the stuff we were doing and you put us in contact. Really do appreciate it. And also wanted to let you guys know, like, support them. Like, they're awesome. Come use Outbid. Comes like it's a hell of an opportunity. You're like, I'm gonna be doing it personally too, but when you do, give us whatever notes and feedback you have on using Outbid as well. And if you guys enjoy the Outbid process, let us know, and we're happy to build Outbid on Corium and use it for more of the projects building there. Like, we are chain agnostic. We're not building the chain. We want to be everybody's favorite partner, because Lunar Space is ours.
Well, I think I'll take you up on your challenge, and not because I took it as financial advice, but just more of as an experiment. I will commit to buying $100 worth of every outbid campaign and see how that performs for me. In the
can I get 150? 150 going once. Can I get 150?
Nice. Right on. I want to invite everybody up for a chance to ask questions. We have two very, very bright minds in the room here tonight to answer questions. I guess that's what we hold these spaces for, to allow access to the guys that are building this technology. You can give them your ideas and feedback. It's all part of our journey together. So really, to get maximum value, if there's something on your mind, now's a chance to get it out and get it answered. Articulate.
Yeah, just briefly, yeah, I just wanted to mention, I did attend that demo session you had, Eric, with the walkthrough about how the upbid process worked. And it's pretty fun, you know. One of my favorite things that I got from that is not just the ease of investing and, you know, the fun way of doing it, is also the nickname part of it. And the fact that you guys can create pretty much thresholds in terms of what gets rewarded, what action gets rewarded, and what milestone, and it triggers automatically. I think that is huge. And you guys are way ahead in this space in terms of creating a fun way to, you know, build. And that's how I see it. It's not necessarily just the developers who are builders, but the people who enable the developers by providing the resources for them to utilize. And I, you know, really appreciate that and look forward to, you know, participating and utilizing that process as well. And I think from my perspective, it was Marco on our team who was like, you know, hey, you know, there's something called Outbid and, you know, AstroVault, and you guys should look at it. And we got, I think I caught up during that first when you guys were doing that first Outbid campaign with AstroVault. And I just saw something I've never seen before in this space. It was people having fun building, not just investing, but building. And it took us to where we are today. And, you know, I'm glad to see that you guys have partnered with Lunar Space and, you know, what's to come of that. And, it, you know, it all boils down. We have, you know, Archway, we have AstroVault, we have Lunar Space, we have Corium, we have Jackal. There's so much in the mix right now, and it's, you know, I'm sure more to come, but what we have here right now is something that the space and just the world I've never seen before, and we're building something unique here with everything that is being done. And I really, hats off to you guys and you know, what the future of this will be. And I enjoyed that demo session. I it made me want to just jump in, but it, you know, see how one sale starts, one sale closes, another sale starts, what triggers it, what you guys look for in terms of, okay, if the first two sales were successful and there's enough engagement or enough to go through the third sale, it makes sense. But if not, you'll just close it out. And that makes sense, you know, rather than, you know, trying to drag or, you know, do something that will eventually make it go into the red or a negative experience. Close it off while you guys have what you're looking for. You got most of what you can from that campaign, and then, you know, utilize and build with that. I think, you know, the process from my perspective is very unique. And, you know, as Henry stressed in earlier, like, what Eric is and who he is in the space, it's a genius. You know, you have built something that I think is it will last, and, you know, there will probably be people who try to replicate the process. But I think that as you build onto it and as you you know, make it much more of a more unique experience with what you guys have coming, I think that you stand to become the go-to launchpad, not just in the cosmos, but just in general. So, you know, looking forward to being with you guys long-term.
Right on. I have a question from Big Boy. I assume intended for Eric. What's the retention like on AXV token when people's vesting period ends? Are the majority selling off or holding on and engaging in the DEX and farms?
So we had 230 something participants in outbid, and I believe all of them had already used AstroVault. And so today, actually, we already had the second to last unvest, so sale two at the 8.1 cent valuation just unvested today. I think price is up 2% on the day. So as for the outbid participants, there has not been a massive selling on any of the days that the unlocks happened, which was like a legitimate concern amongst the community, which is fair. Like, they are cliffs. But we haven't seen that. And that's partly because it is like, it's only supporters that actually participated. It's people that believed in AstroVault long-term. It's not people that were just trying to flip it real quick and make a buck. If they were, if they did, good on them. I want them to have that opportunity. But we haven't seen massive selling. Contrary from Drop Camp, we were frankly shocked at how much of it was just insta-sold. So far more than an average airdrop. Also, we set it up to be highly claimed. A typical airdrop has a claiming rate between like 5 and 20%. Both of the airdrops we've done have been over 90% claimed. The one to our community was mostly put towards Alpine. Of course, those members who received the early airdrop, they were either our own LPs or they were Jackal stakers, because Jackal was a primary LP and they took their percentage of the airdrop and gave it to their stakers. And so some of the Jackal stakers sold it right away. We don't care. It was theirs to do whatever they want with. The Drop Camp sold a lot. Outbid retention rate's been very, very high. So everyone's claiming the rest of tokens, which is great. And most of them are putting it in farms, which what farms are for us is basically how you can stake AXV. Somebody asked earlier about validating. There is no validating on AstroVault. We don't have a chain. We don't need a chain. We don't want a chain. We're happy with all the wonderful chains that are already built. Every chain needs good applications. We're one of those. but we still want our governance power to be like put in a way that makes sense. So we have stake AXV to earn AXV. But since we earn so many different tokens, we also have stake AXV to earn Jackal, stake AXV to earn Arch at actually a higher APR than you can stake Arch to earn Arch without a lockup period. And you'll end up with higher voting power in Archway governance with your AXV than you would with Arch directly. So it's some really odd gamification of what we can do by making so much revenue. I'm sure we'll launch an Atom farm decently soon where you can stake AXV to earn Atom. So most people just drop it in the farms and they diversify organically without even having to sell.
Eric, while I have you here, a community member had a question a few weeks ago, and it had to do with since, you know, Corium had built a two-way bridge into the Cosmo ecosystem, is there something in the works in the future where you could have like an AXV, XRP, AXV solo? You know, bringing the XRPL assets over into the Cosmo ecosystem and also being able to have a pool or pair with AstroVault in the future. Is that something possible?
Yeah, and we'd absolutely love it. Again, if it takes me on the Corium chain, then so be it. If we can do it on Archway, great. We can incentivize it higher than other people can, at least sustainably. Other people might incentivize it higher early on, but they don't make enough revenue to justify it long term. So we can keep paying more than the trade fees and less than the overall revenue, and would love to get XRP listed on AstroVault.
You guys heard it here first. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I was going to say there's always going to be pressure on a DEX token. That's, you know, it's a rewards token, or if it's airdropped, there's no escaping that. There's just a lot of people in this space that's just what they're looking to do. But the big difference that I see here is the revenue model that offsets that. Right. So, I mean, there could always be this pressure that keeps wanting to sell on rewards. But if you're continually growing and bringing more value to your project, you know, that can offset it. So that's what really stuck out to me is the tokenomics and the revenue that's already been proven here just in the short time for any new project to have revenues like that right out of the gates. Fairly impressive. So it's no wonder you're getting some attention there.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah, well, I don't have anybody that's requested to come up. I intentionally didn't want to dive too far into the weeds on the Lunar Space project as a whole, because we've really covered that a lot, and it's just all there on record. I encourage you to go learn about it if you're in Web3 and looking at utilizing these tools. There's a ton of value out there. I know Henry's putting out a ton of information here lately, just even on his X page for that. So I don't mind keeping this one short. There's been a lot of value dropped here today. A lot of people don't like that longer format, so there's no sense of us dragging this out longer and turning people away from listening to it for that case. Nobody has any questions. We can head to start to wind this down. I'll give you guys, Henry, Eric, each one last thing, one last chance to get out any message we might have forgot to touch on, or just, you know, like I said, kind of that pitch for anybody that joined late to explain why they want to get involved in this outbid campaign for the LSC token. And if anybody has any questions, now is your last chance while they're doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Chris, Articulate, thank you so much for having us on. Again, you know, us will come on every Sunday, or at least I will for sure. Yeah, just Lunar Space is onboarding Web 2 into Web 3 in a safe, streamlined manner. And the entire community can utilize and access these tools and benefit from them. And it's a full ecosystem. So yeah, I encourage you to, if you're coming in a little bit late, I encourage you to go back and listen to a lot of our content with on the Superledger podcast here, as well as go read the Medium article that I put up yesterday morning. It's got pretty much everything that you're going to need in there to learn about exactly what we're doing. So yeah, we're excited about it. Thank you guys for having us on again, and you're going to be hearing a lot more from me. So.
Yeah, and guys, please do go give Astroval, give Outbid, give Lunar Space follows, and please, May 15th, go participate. Reserve $100, go buy 100 tickets, and just try it. Let us know what you think about it. If you're tired of all the VC pump garbage projects that dump on your face, and then they all move on and start another project, if you're sick of that being what crypto is, which I sure as hell am, then support the actual legitimate small businesses that are going to make it work, that are proving themselves by building without all of this funding, because they're the ones that are building bigger projects anyways. They're not just outward looking, trying to get another big paycheck to go get another yacht. We're the ones that are building out the actual future. Right now, crypto is a dot-com bubble. A lot of what you see is going to fail. But what comes out of this is going to be incredible. I think Lunar Space, I think Astrovault, I think Outbid all have really good chances to be the Amazons that come out of this. So please, try $100 on Outbid. Let us know what you think. If you have a good time, then fantastic. Hopefully we can get more community bootstrapped, real decentralized business taking place in our neck of the woods.
Right on, guys. Well, I really appreciate that. You're both welcome here anytime, goes without saying. I'll definitely be watching the launch in very closely and participating in it for obvious reasons that I said earlier. No further questions have come up. So I think we will wind it down. Ton of value here. Very excited for you guys. And Eric, thank you for coming on. I appreciate it. I've watched you in a couple interviews here lately, and I hope maybe one day we can get back together and just talk about the crypto ecosystem as a whole. There's many things that you've touched on in your interviews that I'd like to expand on. I just don't want to dilute the value of today's content by wandering down those roads today. So hopefully we can set that up someday in the future.
Thank you, man. Anytime. And I'd love to come circle back after the Outbid campaign's over to do a post analysis, see how everything went, see what everybody thought about it, and what next steps forward are going to be.
Yeah, for sure. If there's anything to squeeze out of you as far as projects coming up next on Outbid, is there anything there you can tell us?
We have a lot vying for even going before Corium. We're trying to be decently selective. We do owe an airdrop, similar to what we did with Archway. We owe an airdrop to Plank. So we're interested in potentially having that AXV airdrop to the Plank community, taking partly place through Outbid, where like a Plank-based project launches on Outbid, and maybe everyone purchases tickets every time you get 100 AXV as like kind of an incentive to keep doing that. So that I think that would be a pretty fun way to do things as well. But yeah, we have quite a few projects that are wanting to list. We are trying to be selective. We have to, like, from the launchpad's angle, we need whatever comes through our launchpad to be successful so that our users make money, so they're happy and return users, so that we can guarantee the projects that come raise so much money, but also so that we need the users to be happy. We need the project deal flow to keep happy. So users need to come back for new projects. New projects need to keep wanting to list on Outbid. So we're being selective. We chose Lunar Space over a lot of other projects because we think they're the best polish, that we think they best align with our vision. And we want to purchase the product anyway. So this is a great way for us to kind of buy our way in. But we'll see here. We're waiting on a lot of materials from a couple other projects that we're actively vetting. We would like to get to a place, if you were on the demo you saw, we've already built out Outbid so it can be franchised out. We are actively deploying it in a lot of other ecosystems. It should be built on Solana here in a couple weeks. We're building it a couple other places in the Cosmos. It's a lot easier for us to build Outbid places than it is to build all of AstroVault, as AstroVault has more code than I think any other application, period, in all of Cosmos at least. But if we can get Outbid other places, we can set up so that other teams can own and operate it, and we just get residual revenue. So it would not be nice to see Outbid actually really, really expand more aggressively than our team could even expand it. And if so, it'd be great if we could get something like a launch every week, just on different networks.
Interesting. Interesting. I'll be lots to follow moving forward, I can see. That's what's great about this job. Okay, so May 15th, to participate, you're going to need either USDC, Axler, or Noble. IST is another option. Corium will work. Archway and AXV. And those that participated in the Dropcat campaign, you should have a little bit of airdropped AXV tokens. So there's no excuse for the ones that listen there unless you sold off, I guess that would be a mistake, because that was kind of the point of me sharing it for the community, is to make sure you had a little bit of free AXV to get into the campaign here for Lunar Space. So encourage everybody to check that out. Anybody that wants to learn more about that, you're more welcome to drop by our Discord. We'll answer as much as we can there. Henry is always very accommodating when you have questions. He's putting out a ton of content. Like I said, a Medium article just came out. It's got a lot of that. He did a great Twitter thread yesterday too, I seen. And Eric, lots of content. He's been out there doing some great interviews there. If you want to learn more about that, I encourage you to give him a follow and what he's building there. And I'll keep you guys up to date what my $100 in campaign do with Outbid. I mean, I've been around crypto for seven, eight years. So, I mean, it's not going to go as bad as some of the things I've done with $100 here and there, that's for sure. So appreciate you guys joining me today. Look forward to the month ahead. There's going to be a lot going on for Lunar Space, which really excites us at Corium Community DAO. And thank you, everybody, for joining us here today. Without you guys, this podcast wouldn't attract the great minds and talent that it does week in, week out. And if you want to be a guest here, show your project off, just reach out anytime. We'd be more happy to get you on. And I think with that, we will wind it down today. No more questions. So articulate anything from you to close out today?
Not specifically, but just to remind everyone, our newsletter is out. First newsletter from the Corium Community DAO, packed with information. And we advise you to check that out. I'll also put that up in the Jumbotron here. But it was another great episode, a lot of information. I think I'll have to listen to this two or three times just to, you know, grasp a lot of what was said today. But we look forward to having you next week for episode 25. And, you know, thank you guys for always supporting.
Right on, guys. Well, we'll wind her down. Thanks again. Peace and prosperity to you all.
There's this principle in Taoism where it's just like the more you fight something, the more like the opposite of what you want, like just inevitably it kind of starts to happen. There's this principle in like Taoism where it's just like the more you fight something, the more like the opposite of what you want, inevitably it kind of starts to happen.
Chirping on the bird app, listening to nerds flap, wondering why the fuck my timeline's so cursed. It's like everybody's holding heavy bags in Web 3. That's why they can't fly, they just drowning in the bird bath, fishing for some dry powder. Watch how we ignite the tower, blowing up their bank accounts, forgetting how to fight the power. Y'all don't even realize how deep this shit goes. They preach an open source, but don't listen to the code. And now it's mutiny, community, uprise. There's no more humility, futility, plus size. Motherfuckers leaking from the wrench down to the bare metal. Which side of the line you bleeding out on when the dust settles? Motherfucking west side shit, needle and noose. Sticking with my armory, Yambato and Bruce. Repping psychedelic artistry, believing the truth. Like these motherfuckers even need a reason to sue? GM fam.
Worth all the effort? Is it really worth all the fighting? Is it really worth all the drama? And the answer, I think, is a clear no.
They started using Zoom, now we finna zoom out. Teaching all these plebiscites what this game's really all about. Little baby bitches when they choose to have fits. All you're left with is kibble when you lose all them bits. And that kibble's just sawdust. This shit is all rust. Not a great look, you're what we'd call all nuts. And I for one did not see that coming. Cracking open books, yo, that's a lot of money. Meanwhile, over here rewiring features. More critical thinking, less knee-jerk. More evolution, less shit. Coin preachers pretending to be teachers. Y'all just predatory leeches. I mean, please, just look at the track record. A bunch of VC rat fucks sucking up the cheddar. The recipe is two steps, rinse and repeat. Now we all in your butts and we bring in receipts. GM fam, have a seat.
If you're listening to this, my plea to you would be like, don't have to take a side on it. Just say like, is it really worth this war of attrition? It might cost us a lot more than what can be gained by like fighting this to the bitter end. And sometimes it's better to just like move on.
Chill spaces.